Krishna Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Text Number 25. Ayamataha, by length. Vistarataha, by breadth. Svamana, by his own measurement. Dehena, by the transcendental body. Lokachaya, the three upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Sangrahena, by total absorption. Vichitra, variegated. Divya, transcendental. Abharana Amshrukkanam, rays of the ornaments. Kritashriya Apashita, beauty created by those dresses and ornaments. Vesha, dressed. Deham, transcendental body. Translation. His transcendental body, unlimited in length and breadth, occupied the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. His body was self-illuminated by unparalleled dress and variegatedness and was properly ornamented. So we'll read that responsibly. His transcendental body. Unlimited in length and breadth, occupied the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. His body was self-illuminated by unparalleled dress and variegatedness and was properly ornamented. Support by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The length and breadth of the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead could only be measured by His own measurement, because He is all-pervading throughout the complete cosmic manifestation. The beauty of material nature is due to His personal beauty. Yet He is always magnificently dressed and ornamented to prove His transcendental variegatedness, which is so important in the advancement of spiritual knowledge. So, here, this is a description of Lord Brahma after meditating for millions of years, in our measurement, the Lord revealed Himself, Gavadakshai Vishnu revealed Himself to Lord Brahma. So, here, this is in the second half of Brahma's day. So it's a similar description as what we get in the earlier part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we hear similar descriptions that happened to Brahma in the first part of Brahma's day. In the first day of Brahma's life. Brahma's life is divided into two sections of 50 years. And this particular kalpa, where the lotus flower, along with Brahma and all the living entities, emerges from the navel of Gavadakshai Vishnu, Padma kalpa, yeah. it is. So particular kalpas, different kalpas, or particular days of Brahma, kalpa is a day of Brahma, and they have distinguishing features. So here, as happened in the first day of Brahma's life, this description is happening at the end of 50 years have passed. So Brahma's about 50 years old in the prime of his life. So now Brahma's in the measurement of the demigods, one of our years is calculated to be 6 months of our year is 1 day, and the other 6 months of our year is 1 night in the measurement of the demigods. So if you then, of course, you multiply that by so many days in a week, 7 days in a week, 30 days in a, 4 weeks in a month, or 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year, and 100 years, there, 12,000 years in the life of the demigods is 1 day of Brahma's life, which is 1,000 times the cycle of 4 yugas. And each yuga, so we have Kali Yuga, last 432,000 years. Dwapara Yuga is about twice that, about 800 and something thousand. Treta Yuga is 120,000. And four times Kali Yuga is Satya Yuga, about 200,000. What's that? What's that? Something like that. Who's counting? So, So the total of the 4 yugas, what is the total there? About 2 million years or something?
4,300,000.
Yeah, 4,300,000 something. Yeah. So that's one cycle of yugas. So Brahma's day is 1,000 times that. And which adds up to 12,000 years, or 12,000 something years in the life of the demigods on a slightly lower level. And of course, Brahma lives, each of his days, so that's one of Brahma's days. Brahma has 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year, so 50 of those years have gone. So much time has passed. And here we're discussing Gavadaksha Vishnu, of course, that the entire duration of the universe, which is the length of Brahma's life, is there within one breath of Mahavishnu. So, so here, Lord Brahma, so generally at the end of Brahma's day, there is not a total devastation of the universe as there was in this case. usually at the end of Brahma's day, the planetary systems are scorched and then submerged up to the level of Mahaloka, and the demigods from Mahaloka, higher planetary systems, they go up to Brahmaloka, but still they can feel the scorching heat, dissolving the universe. So that's usually at the end of Brahma's day, but at the last day of his 50 years, and the first day of the next 50 years, there's also a Padma Kalpa in which, even Brahma, the whole universe, even Brahma Loka and Brahma himself are wound up within Gavadakshay Vishnu. And again, they come out, which is what is being described here. So Lord Brahma and it described there that Lord Vishnu, the super soul who expanded from Gaurakshaya Vishnu, he then entered within that lotus flower and manifested Brahma. Brahma is self-form. And he entered within the heart of Brahma and he entered within the heart of all living entities. So this now this is Brahma's meditation. So, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to get a little picture of Brahma's meditation, because he's not an ordinary person. You know, he's there in the very beginning of creation. But because the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, even Brahma was not able to perceive, you know, where he had come from, where the lotus had come from, like that. So he tried to search out, going through the lotus stem and to the navel of the Lord, but he could not perceive the Lord. So then he meditated a long, long time, and the Lord manifested himself to the vision of Brahma within his heart. So this is, and of course, our disciplic succession, we're able to, you know, meditate or fix our minds and, you know, capture that moment at the very beginning of creation. Brahma, he's, you know, he's not an ordinary person. Brahma has, it's considered that Lord Brahma, when the lotus flower manifested from Gaurakshaya Vishnu, within that lotus is the blueprint or the seed of all the various planetary systems from Satyaloka to Pataloka, which will later be manifest by Brahma. And all the living entities, all the jivas there are also there in their but they don't have the gross bodies. That form of the lotus is considered one of the forms of Brahma. You know, that lotus himself, so you know that universe is not separate from Brahma, the person. It is, you know, one of his forms. It makes it so, just to try and understand, you know, what a unique person Lord Brahma is. And all the souls, the jivas within that, so that's called Vairaj. And then the souls within that lotus, they're considered the sattva body in one sense, of those jivas of Brahma, Hiranyagarbha. And Brahma himself also manifests as the four-headed Brahma, who then manifests. So, now Lord Brahma is, you know, quite a unique personality, very, very difficult to understand. Because he's, you know, in many cases, well, you know, the Lord himself will manifest as Lord Brahma. And Shivadakshaya Vishnu will himself actually become Brahma. So in that sense, you know, Lord Brahma can be non-different from the Lord. But sometimes Lord Brahma is a jiva who is empowered to take that position. So his form is, you know, his, you can imagine his consciousness. It's described that Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they also have an all-pervasive sort of feature. You know, when you describe Lord Vishnu as having all-pervasiveness, that's one of his characteristics. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma also have that feature, but to a lesser degree. Of course, Lord Brahma, he is, and Lord Shiva, they have some all-pervading consciousness within the universe, but Lord Vishnu, who is not different from Mahavishnu, ultimately, he is all-pervading throughout the whole of material creation. And also, he is non-different from Narayan, so he also has awareness throughout the whole spiritual creation. So his all-pervading consciousness is far greater. I guess it's in our body, we're aware that actually our body is like a whole civilization. There's whole communities of living entities, doing all sorts of things within the body, millions of them, so we're sort of somewhat aware of them. We try to, keep control of them somehow or another with our, various bacteria we put in and take out, and antibiotics and what have you, try to get rid of the bad ones. But, our body is a whole community, it's a whole universe in oneself, in one sense, for those. But we don't have the, we have some consciousness of the other living entities within our body, but Lord Brahma actually has a lot more awareness. He's more fully aware of the activities of the living entities. Just like Yamaraj also has, within his heart, within his mind, he can perceive, the karma, the sinful actions of, all the human beings. It's hard for us to imagine. So their mind is like a supercomputer. So this Lord Brahma, he tried to meditate upon, he tried to perceive the source where he came from, and then through devotion, through praying to the Lord, meditating on the Lord agreed to reveal himself. And then it's described here that the Lord has his transcendental body, which is unlimited in length and breadth, and occupy the three planetary systems, upper, lower, upper, middle, and lower. So, there are different aspects of that. It's a very typical concept to understand. First Brahma is looking everywhere. He can't see the Lord everywhere, and then when he sees him, he pervades the whole universe. And at the same time, he's perceiving him on the Gavadaka ocean with the lotus and him sitting on top. So he is the entire universe because that lotus flower encompasses all the various universes, and that lotus flower, is actually attached to the body of the Lord at that. So he, in that sense, it's not, the whole universe is not disconnected from him. In another sense, you can't say, well, the Lord's body seemed to come up to about the level of Bhuloka. It was about that big, if you measure from the bottom of the ocean to about Bhuloka, it seemed to be about that big. You can't put a measurement on it, so no, it's sort of bigger than that, but there he is on the ocean. It's, so it's transcendental. Distinct from the material energy, yet there. The only example that comes to my mind that I can, sort of try and comprehend that is that, sometimes you get a... you're watching a film and one image is, what's the word, transposed upon another. So you've got two images and one image is there and another one's on top of it. So you see them both at once, but they're not quite connected. Like that. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can only be measured by his own measurement. You can't measure him according to what's there within the universe, or even according to Brahma himself. And he himself, although as described in previous verses, the entire beauty of the material nature is due to the personality of Godhead. He is the source of the beauty of material nature. Yet, we should not think that he has no spiritual variegatedness himself, or a separate existence. Here we see that he's magnificently dressed and ornamented to prove his transcendental variegatedness. So he has his own transcendental existence. So, here is the material universe emanating from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the lotus flower. The universe hasn't quite yet taken shape with the planetary systems and all the living entities with their bodies and what have you. And yet the Lord is beautifully dressed. Where did he get that? Where did he get those clothes? Beautifully dressed, he's got gems, he's got, everything is there. Helmet and, different. Where did he get those? Myers? So, he's displaying. He has his own transcendental existence. It's enough. That's enough. You don't really have to see, we know that, for instance, say someone comes to the temple and they walk in, they're immaculately dressed at that, hair is neat. We know that that person most likely has a home. He has a job, has a source of income, by the looks of him, they see he's a family person, he's probably driven a car here. You don't actually have to see everything, but just, that's enough to understand there's a whole, that person, it's not that when he walked into the temple, his life was, embellished and filled out. He had his life before he walked in. So when we see here Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, that's enough. It's enough to perceive that he has a whole transcendental existence. So now this helps us, of course, to understand and this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who enters within the heart of Brahma and enters within the heart of all living entities, it's not difficult to understand that he can also appear as Krishna. See, he appears as the smallest living entity within existence. No one can be smaller than the Lord. He is the smallest, smaller than the smallest. The super soul sitting within the heart. Therefore, it's not difficult for us to understand that if he sits within the heart, even in the heart of a little germ, of an ant, at that, that he can also appear in a medium size as Krishna in order to reciprocate with us like that. So this aspect of the transcendental variegatedness is displayed by the Lord, and yet when Krishna appears in the world and displays his variegatedness, they think, oh, where did this come from? That's not possible. Like that. But actually, and when he appears as Krishna, he manifests a very gatedness which is beyond the very gatedness manifested by Gavadaksha Vishnu. So, therefore, for us, of course, take from these pastimes we have great faith in the scriptures describing the personality of Godhead as Lord Sri Krishna and his manifestations as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Nityananda Prabhu and Mother Sachi and his various pastimes. But even for those who are Vaishnavas in the sense that they worship Vishnu or Narayan, the variegatedness of Krishna is very, very difficult to perceive. And yet, from this one description, which they're actually worshipping, they have in their various temples of Vishnu. If you go to a temple of Vishnu or Narayan, he's always dressed. But he was dressed before the material creation, so it's a hint that he can manifest unlimited variegatedness. If he can manifest a cloth which is unlimited. In other words, here is Brahma sitting on top of the lotus and he's seeing that even his clothes pervade the entire universe, and they're thinking, Krishna can't be God and get a little dhoti about medium size and, dress him, become dressed. He can manifest a cloth, various clothes, helmets, which make the sun look like a little tiny little spot on his helmet, but God can't walk around the forest dressed in those clothes. He cannot do that. If he can dress himself as the Gavadaksha Vishnu, he can certainly dress himself in that medium size as Krishna. But they cannot understand that. But Lord Brahma understands this because Krishna actually revealed himself to Brahma in the very first day of creation. When Brahma meditated, he perceived Narayan, he perceived the Vaikuntha planets, and then Krishna also appeared to him and played his flute and initiated him. And therefore from that, we get the Karma Gayatri and the, Gopala Gayatri like that. So, and when Lord Brahma saw the manifestation of Krishna and heard his flute, he then composed the Brahma Samhita and glorifies Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajam. So, this is just a little glimpse into the life of Brahma and some of his meditations. I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Yeah, there's two opinions. One is it's a description of the last day of the second half of his life. It's of that 50 years, and the 50 years comes to the last day. Some opinion it's the last day, and some say it's the first day of the next 50 years. Either way, it's pretty close, considering the time frame. But there are two opinions. Yeah, this one takes up after, we hear of the saga, the creation of the primary elements like that, and then the universes and what have you. Here we take up from the secondary creation, which has been touched upon before as well. But when they take up the subject again, they're taking it up in a different kalpa. Yeah. Any other questions?
This one passed down the king.
there are different, you know, just to show Brahmas. There was, I think it was Ravata, who was Ravati's father. Ravati married Balaram. And Ravata was a great king. And he went to Lord Brahma. He wanted to worship him and get a nice wife or his husband for his daughter. And while he was there, I think there was a music recitation going on. And, you know, it just lasted a few minutes longer until it stopped. And then, you know, the king mentioned the various persons he thought might be a suitable match for his daughter. And then, you know, Brahma said, oh, you know, all those, not only those kings, but dynasties, you know, so many dynasties, millions and millions of years have gone past. But if you go now to, you know, Mathura, you'll see that Krishna and Balaram is there, and Balaram will be a suitable husband. Yeah, so yeah, just a few minutes of that in Brahma's time. And of course, we also see the reverse situation where Brahma came here, and when he, you know, stole Krishna's cows, and you know, and cowherd boys, and he turned his head away for a moment thinking, oh, and then thought, what have I done? And when he turned back, a whole year had gone past in our time.
I was just wondering how is that possible that time also didn't go faster for that king, but that imply that it's not so much about being Brahma, but rather that time basically goes slower when you're around Brahma.
Hmm. Yeah, it's yes, very mysterious universe, very mysterious universe. But first of all, we understand that Lord Brahma lives for such an incredible... he lives for 311 trillion, 400 billion earth years. So 311 trillion, 400 billion... yeah, that's his 100 years, right? So therefore, if you take his moment, it's quite a long time, isn't it? See? So, what that would suggest is that when, you know, if he does something for a moment, so much time goes past in our time. For instance, you know, Brahma might decide, you know, I'll have some lunch. So we're in the... Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma in the seventh Manu, so there are 14 Manus in each day of Brahma. They sort of, you know, great personalities, demigods. There are 14 Manus, and when one's finished, another one takes over. And we're in the seventh Manu. So we're... And they each live for 71. They each rule for 71 cycles of the 4 years. So we're in the 28th millennium, which is not quite halfway. So it must be just before lunch, right, for Brahma. So, you know, for him, just working up to having some lunch, you know, 28. No, 7 Manus have gone past, each one living for that we're in the 7th. So 6 have gone, 71 cycles of the 4 yugas, plus another 28 in this 7th Manu, as Brahma's working. So you see, you know, what will we do before lunch? You know, so Brahma's time is like that. So therefore, but if someone is able to go to Brahma's abode, then that person fortunately does not die in the time perhaps they would have in earth years. In other words, their life is extended. So King Ravata, you know, if he goes to, you know, Brahma's abode and he stays there, instead of like an ordinary king passing away in the time a king would in those days, So many dynasties have come and gone. So he's actually, his life has expanded by the grace of, you know, being in such a loka, which is, you know, quite a mystical place. Yeah. So, yeah, it takes a lot of, you know, meditation to sort of see how these things adjust. Does that help? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think Einstein, developed the theory of relativity and what have you, that there are curves. So in other words, say, you know, time goes like this, but then, you know, from, if you don't go down the curve and you just go the direct from, the top of the curve to the top of the next curve, you've passed that time in a shorter time span. It is, you know, it's a bit elastic. In other words, it's a bit elastic. You know, so to give you, like space, let's say space. So if you had to go from this mountainous region to, and you're going through space or, you know, walking, what have you, so there's a distance of, you know, and you go down the mountain, down the valley, up another mountain, down another mountain like that, and you get to the, so you might say, oh, that's 20 miles. But then they say, well, as the crow flies, it's 5 miles because the crow flies just straight over the top of it. So that means what takes us 20 miles, the crow goes the same distance and only took him 5 miles. See? So time is a bit like that as well. You know, it's a bit elastic, a bit adjustable. The universe is extraordinarily well designed to accommodate these things, and they take a lot of deep meditation. Somewhat beyond our ability to some degree, but if you have a scientific research in mind, there are books like Sataputra's different books about the universe. Have you seen those? Yep. You read those? Yeah. Very good, you know, just going into the actual science of everything and just explaining how these things are possible, you know, just looking at things existing in multi dimensions. You know, for instance, if we talk about dimensions, if something is two dimensional, sometimes you see a little bug walking on the page, it's so small, it's almost like, you know, as flat as one of the letters on the page. If I put my finger on the page, his perception of me is almost two-dimensional. His perception of me is that point where my finger touches the page. But I'm a three-dimensional being. But his perception is practically two-dimensional, just that point that touches the page. See? So two-dimensional and three-dimensional can exist, but our ability to perceive them is limited. But, you know, the more we, hear from scripture and deeply meditate upon these things and, gradually the Lord very kindly reveals. Because after all, we're spirit souls. And the spirit soul is capable of understanding these things. But because we think in a material way, so like this verse, when you hear this verse, you sort of got to stop thinking in a material way to be able to understand it. As long as we do that, we don't get much out of it. As our awareness of the spiritual dimensions increases, you know, we can derive so much more. So as a spirit soul, we have that capability. So as we progress in devotional life, gradually more and more of these realizations of both the universe and and our self within the body, and the Lord within our body, and the pastimes of Krishna and the spiritual world, that gradually we understand them more and more by the Lord's grace. Any other questions? But as I explained, even those who are Vaishnavas, even those who worship Lord Narayana, struggle to understand the Lord's variegatedness. That's what I was saying. They'll go to their own temples, Lord Narayana. The deities, the Lord is clothed and helmeted and has, you know, and they're worshipping that Lord from whom material creation comes. Who existed before material creation. But they struggle to understand Krishna. That level of variegatedness, they can't accommodate. You know, Krishna's level of variegatedness, you know, the pastimes. See, it's not just Lord Gavadaksha Vishnu laying there with, you know, that, I mean, that's extraordinary. And we know that Lakshmi massages his lotus feet and he's lying on the bed of Ananta. We know that the four Kumaras were instructed by Sankarshan, you know, and this pastime is actually coming through them. So there are various interactions. But the interactions with Krishna, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, the living entities, that just, you know, is like an explosion of variegatedness. It's just, you know, if people are struggling to understand, how did the four Kumaras speak with, you know, Sankarshan at the bottom, you know, they're struggling with that. And then all of a sudden, Krishna's spiritual variegatedness explodes unlimitedly. It's just too much. So, not just for materialists, but even as devotees of the Lord, more and more we have to be able to appreciate that the variegatedness of the Lord is transcendental.